Matt Taberner, speaking of people that live in the West, has been good enough to join us. Fremantle Ford after another splendid win, a ripper win. And Matt's in pretty good form. Welcome to you, Matt. Great to have you on the program.
Hey, Dwayne. Thanks for having me.
Best year of your career, do you think, Matt?
I think I'm playing some pretty consistent footy. The last few years have been a bit disrupted with some injuries. So, at the moment, I'm just sort of happy to string a few games together and, hopefully play a full season, which I haven't managed to do so far in my career. So.
And you've been really pivotal in games as well for long periods of games. You've kind of been ultra-reliable as a key forward. We've been talking about key forwards the last couple of days on this program. It's not just the marks you take and the goals you kick. It's the competition you provide that makes you reliable as a player to bring it to ground for those to get around you as well. It's a pretty big role you play, even if we kind of sometimes underestimate it when you're not getting the kicks and handballs yourself.
Yeah, certainly. That's sort of your baseline. That's what I sort of pride myself on, is just making a contest and, giving our smalls best use if I'm not able to mark it. But this year, I think, I'm getting some good opportunities personally. I haven't been able to capitalise in front of goals at times, which has sort of been a little bit of knock of me. The last couple of years is probably my set shots, but... as long as I'm sort of competing and getting those opportunities, I'll continue to work on the other stuff.
What do you make of Rory Lobb's preparation for goal kicking, by the way? Do you guys get into him about it, or do you just not mention the war?
He sort of never used to have it, but, I think last night was really pronounced. It was, I think he had one late, and it was the most he sort of started. I sort of was chuckling to myself as he was walking in. It was, but he's sort of trying to work on it. But I think barring last night, he still managed to kick him straight. And I think, Kennedy used to have that stutter. So, as long as he's kicking straight, it's fine. But I think he's trying to, minimise the stutters coming in. But I think it's a tough thing to do once it's in your head, I guess.
You're playing so well, they're thinking of putting Jesse Hogan back.
Yeah, well, Hogs, unfortunately, he sort of suffered an injury a couple of weeks ago, and I thought we were playing some really good footy together. Really working well with Jesse, and unfortunately, sort of suffered an injury, and we've been a little bit depleted down back. We've got some important players like Alex Pierce and Joel Hamlin who are out for the year, so they were considering sort of playing him down there. Just for a little bit of height, but we know what he can do sort of up forward. The couple of games I sort of managed to play with him this year, we sort of worked really well. So it's good sort of having that flexibility, the ability for him to go back and forward. But coming off limited preparation, he sort of just missed out this week. But I'm sure he's not far off. Whether that be forward or back, doesn't sort of really bother us. I'd love to have him up forward, to be honest.
Yeah. Were you always confident that this would be, you'd see this kind of growth from all of your young players this season? Were you worried pre-season? You had a new group, a whole heap of kids, a new coach. No one really knew, but did you feel confident?
I was really optimistic coming into the season. I think JL's come in and he's made a real sort of clear and concise sort of game plan, easy to follow, and we've had a lot of good buy-in from both the sort of young players and the more senior guys like Dave Munder, who's still sort of performing. We obviously, going back a couple of weeks, we've suffered some sort of significant injuries. We've got, one of the biggest injury lists in the AFL, some really important players. I doubt about sort of, getting our best team on the park. But the guys that have come in have just, gone above and beyond. Like, we've got, first and second gamers, and guys like Caleb Sarong, who came in and is playing on, Paddy Dangerfield, and then Adam Treloar the next week after just a handful of games and playing some fantastic footy. And I think last night you saw some extraordinary growth from guys like Andy Brayshaw, and I think Adam Chera played his best game for the club. And yeah, as I said, Dave Mundy sort of leads them in the midfield, allows sort of Fifey to go forward, and you know, he's, with his aerial prowess, he's a real dangerous threat to have up there. So,
you're a Victorian. You'd never considered, have you had some offers to come home?
Yeah, so I'm from Bright, so a couple of hours out of Melbourne. So ever since I've got to Perth, it's been a pretty easy transition. You know, to Fremantle is a nice sort of small place to get around. So, you know, I was drafted with a lot of interstate boys, and you sort of gel off the field together and form great relationships. But no, I've always been really happy here. You know, ever since I've been here, even as Ross was coach, he's given me plenty of opportunity and faith, and Jail's exactly the same. So, yeah, I'm very happy here, to be honest.
They seem very different as people and as coaches, Justin Longmuir and Ross Lyon.
Definitely totally different approaches. You know, I'm forever thankful for sort of what Ross taught me. He was, like, instrumental in sort of my development. And sort of as since JL's come in, it's a different approach, but, yeah, really effective as well. So I think with our age demographic and that, it's a real sort of nurturing environment we've got here at the moment. And, yeah, I think, you know, the playing group are right behind him.
And game style-wise, what are the main differences in terms of what they're after from, you know, your pressure side of things and your game style in terms of ball movement and keeping forwards forward?
Yeah, I think they've still both got, both the coaches had similar approaches. Like, it's based on sort of, you know, effort and role. You know, there's a few tweaks. I think JL's got a big emphasis on sort of, you know, getting good isolation for our sort of tall players up forwards. So when myself and Jesse are working in and lobby down there, you know, we think we can identify an advantage and try and sort of isolate each other. So, yeah, there's a few little tweaks, but nothing like abnormal. So I think JL's just a big emphasis on developing those younger players. And, yeah, pretty much it.
Where do you prefer Nat Fife, forward or in the middle?
No, he's good having down forward. Obviously great in the air. Doesn't chase out that much, but that's the beauty of him. He's sort of got the ability to go in the midfield and spark us and get the ball forward. And then, you know, when our younger midfielder is on top like they were last night, we've got the luxury of putting him down forward. So, yeah, I think, you know, as you get sort of older, I think there's going to be, you're probably going to see him down forward a lot more. But, yeah, I think there's a good balance. I think, you know, you don't want to take away his stoppage game, which he's been, you know, one of the best in the league for a number of years now. So I think, you know, if he gets his 5 or 10 minutes down forward a quarter, that would be sort of optimum, I would say.
There's the theory that when there's 4-on-4 for a centre bounce, it's actually not too bad to have him in there because he's only got a couple of others to beat for a clearance. But when it's 8-on-8 or 9-on-9 or 10-on-10 for a ball in or a ball up on the wing, it's harder for a guy like that to have an impact in that kind of crowd. So he's better forward. Where are you at with that as well? Because it's a theory that's kind of evolved a bit in recent times to the point that teams are now thinking it's almost better to lose an 8-on-8 or be prepared to not have your extra man at the contest and have that extra man behind it so you win it after the team kicks it to you, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, I definitely get it. I think, you know, as long as we've got good balance sort of on the outside of the stoppage, like I think it's doesn't matter if it's a centre square bounce or, you know, throwing. I think, you know, get him in there. And he's often tracking, you know, one or two opposition players when he goes into a stoppage. So it often frees someone else up. You know, if you look at the centre square bounce, I think the fact that there's no drop-off anymore at centre square bounces, like even if he starts forward, that's a big win. So if you're seeing that teams get it in in deep and early, it's really hard to stop. So, yeah, I don't really think it matters what type of stoppage. It's just, you know, given the ability to sort of rest up forward is going to be really beneficial for us.
And before I let you go, 22-game season in the future and normal length quarters, or would you be an advocate for more games in a season, but the current game time we've currently got continuing?
Yeah, I guess it ultimately comes down to sort of, you know, the revenue the game can generate. You know, I think players, you know, it's a long, 22 games is a long season, but so like I'm definitely for 17, but yeah, I think in terms of the game length, I sort of don't mind the longer games. It probably suits me a little bit better. You know, I think the game opens up the longer it goes. So the thing, you know, fans just have to be sort of mindful of is these shortened games. They're not going to be as high scoring. You know, there probably aren't going to be as many goals kicked. You know, a 30-touch game is sort of equivalent to, you know, a 40-touch game in the longer format. So I think the beauty of this sort of season is it has given the AFL a few things to sort of experiment with, which has been really good. And whether they sort of implement them going into next year, it'll be interesting to see. But, you know, I think a big win is, like, you know, having games on sort of Monday nights a bit more often and stuff like that. A bit more Thursday night footy has been really good. So, yeah, but I think one team each, you know, 17 games is a good balance, I think.
And had Alex Witherden on the show yesterday. He said that the game, he reckons, opens up more with more fatigue. He'd put a cap on interchange. He figures that it's easier for him to pick his way through a zone when players are tired late in quarters. You sounded like you'd think the game opens up late in quarters as well, that more fatigue might be a better thing and less interchange might be a better thing.
Yeah, definitely. I think the interchange is pretty good at the moment. But, yeah, as you say, in the sort of third and fourth quarters, especially late, you often see, you know, a few goals kicked because, you know, fatigue sets in. You know, it's harder to cover players off. So, yeah, I'm all for the, you know, going back to the full length games. I think as a viewer, it might be easier, you know, just to sit down and watch the shortened game as it's a bit more consumed, a bit easier, it's a bit shorter. But I think I'm for the going back to what we had.
Great to have you on, Matt. Congratulations on your form this year and Fremantle's form this year. You've become a really exciting, watchable, enjoyable team. So keep on keeping on. We'll talk soon.
No worries. Cheers, Wayne. Thank you.
Matt Taberner, Fremantle star forward after their big win last night. Stick around. More of your calls after the break. 1-300-736-736. The open line, thanks to Werribee Kia. 1-300-736-736. Take your calls. Talk to Larry Kesselman, the NBL chairman, about what they're planning with their new task force to try and consider what an option is to start the NBL season with crowds. Brett Phillips, also the host of The First Serve, to join us not far away. And Simon Hill to talk soccer. So plenty still to come. But your call's the priority. You jump on, you get on. That's the Madness Promise.